Ron, we're talking about a new anthology you've done called And Here. And we've talked in the past about the first one that you did. What got you to thinking that you've got to do another one?
Well, basically, I was offered a multi-book contract. Wayne State University Press was interested in the Way North, and we did that. And then Michigan State University Press offered the three-book deal. And this is just a second of the three, but I am squeezing in a fourth one that's coming out next year that I co-edited
wow.
with Andrea Scarpino. Yeah, keep having book ideas. But the one that just came out is called And Here, 100 Years of Upper Peninsula Writing, 1917 to 2017. So it's covering 100 years of UP writing, and I tried to get at least one piece from every single decade so that you get to see the sort of transitions that happened with Upper Peninsula writing. It's just one of my favorite things when I've been reading through is seeing how things shift.
Give us a quick synopsis of the other, and if you know all four at this point, how is this one different than the other three in the series?
Well, the very first one, The Way North, was brand new, never before published work. That's one I won a 2014 Michigan Noble book from the Library of Michigan. So that was like a contemporary right now authors doing brand new writing. And then the second one was Here, Women Writing on Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and that was looking at the history of women's writing in the UP. So it starts all the way with Bamawala Gazikwe, you know, 1830s, 1840s, up till now. But the current one is looking at the last 100 years. I wanted to, because it was, for me, I feel like there's some specific shifts that start happening, and one is like 1917. After that, you get this post-war movement where in the 1920s, it's really interesting, is there's an explosion of UP writing. I did not start the book with Ernest Hemingway, which some people would kind of incorrectly do, because what was happening was Lou R. Surratt, who's also known as Lone Caribou, in the 1920s, like 1921, he won Poetry Magazine's Best Poem of the Year for this long poem, Box of God, and he's writing about the Upper Peninsula because he's from the UP. So when Hemingway starts writing about the UP, it's not on his own, just out of the blue. It's because Lone Caribou has set this sort of like real strong interest in the area that then Hemingway jumps on. So I include like William Paris Potter and Janet Lewis. And one of the things that's really cool for me doing the book is I'm introducing a lot of Upper Peninsula writers that I think some people don't realize are Upper Peninsula writers, but are phenomenal writers. I mean, at the time, Lou R. Surratt, Lone Caribou, he was just hugely respected. And he's not someone like what I grew up that people talked about him a lot, but he's an amazing poet, and that's what the book opens up with. And then I kind of take you through all these other incredible writers that have written about the UP in the history.
When you made your choices of who to include, did you have to be a native of UP, born there, or was it a certain time period that you had to spend there, or is it just that these people wrote about the UP?
Okay, that's a really good question. And my response to that is I had this editorial group that people I would send out writings to and get recommendations from. And one of the things I noticed, because this is my third time doing the books, is that there was a sort of I don't know, sometimes it's almost like a good old boy network where I felt like it was getting too university focused, like almost like trying to include people from Northern Michigan University or, I don't know, any of the other colleges up there. And I had a problem with that because that was not native. That was people who are coming from other areas, getting a job there, maybe, you know, teaching, then retiring and moving out of the UP as fast as they could.
Yeah.
So one of the things, and you said the word native, and that's actually a perfect word. And one of the gaps that I found was that indigenous writing wasn't being included enough where people didn't know them. People never, and no one had ever said the name, you know, Lone Caribou to me ever, or William Jones or Jim Northrup. And so what I started doing on my own is I went to this Native American Studies library. I basically picked up every single book in there by a Midwest writer and started thumbing through page by page by page, seeing, did you write about the UP? And that's where I discovered, for example, Jim Northrup, who writes about Isle Royale. And so then I started I tried to put in much more of indigenous writing. And the thing that's great about indigenous writing is it's so good. Like Shirley Brazo is in here. April Lindell is in here. You know, in here with Clara Corbett, Margaret Newton, Gordon Henry. and those writers are phenomenal writers. Like Gordon Henry's poem just explodes on the page because it has so much energy. So I wanted to do people who write about the UP, but I especially have a big fondness for people who are actually born and raised in the UP, and then even more fondness for Indigenous writers, Anishinaabe writers, the Grand River Six Nation writers, you know, who are writing about the Upper Peninsula.
And what's the importance in your eyes, Ron, of capturing UP voices rather than, say, all of Michigan?
Changes that has occurred, and I was saying like 1917 and this post-war movement and this explosion that happened in the 1920s, is another critical year for me is 1957. And the reason why is we're talking about the opening up of the bridge. Mm. And when there wasn't that bridge, you got to think this is real distinct difference between Upper Peninsula and Lower Michigan.
Yeah.
That's as simple as you can't just get in a car and drive over there. So the writing shifts after that point, and you'll see that in the book. You start having some really big name, quote unquote, heroes of the Upper Peninsula, where you have like Robert Traver and Jim Harrison, and some of these people that's occurring, after the bridge opens up, and so what I see with Upper Peninsula writing is I personally find it very, very distinctive from Lower Michigan writing. I feel that it's got different sort of like thematic focuses and there's issues of one of the things that I talk about too with Indigenous writing is when you look at the tribes in Michigan, the frequency of the tribes get as the further north you go. And so with the Upper Peninsula, it has an extremely Indigenous heritage. You know, there's so many tribes that are from there, and from that you get so many great Indigenous writers that are from that region. But it's also very rural, very working class. It's very nature-oriented, outdoors, environmental-oriented.
I was going to ask you about that. Is there a theme that runs throughout even over a 100-year time span? Does it tend to be more nature-oriented than perhaps elsewhere?
Absolutely. I almost see it as being sort of like environmentalist book. You'll find that consistently being something that has a very strong focus in one that's really important. Alison Swan wrote the introduction to my last book. Thomas Lynch wrote this one, but someone like Andrea Scarpino and Alison Swan, these are hugely outspoken, vocal individuals in terms of environmental, rights and climate change concerns. And so I'm pretty happy about how much I feel like UP writers write about very significant subject matter in terms of the environment. I think there's a strong voice that needs to be spoken about those things.
And what have you got in there? Fiction, nonfiction, poetry? How did you make those choices?
I just wanted the best writing period. So it's got poetry, fiction, nonfiction. But that's what I was really critically looking for is I would ask people and the other editors, I was like, do you find this one of the best pieces of writing ever from the area? As you read it, you get to experience just a whole lot of important, very talented writers. It's like a huge list of people I can name, but some of the other ones that are in there are Jeff Van Zandt and Ellie Kimball and Austin Hummel, and even got a Gordon Lightfoot's in there with the Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald. Sue Harrison, Carol R. Hackenberg. I mean, there's just so many names. Jennifer Yates. And that's the cool thing is I want to introduce people to as many writers as possible because I get very frustrated if I ask somebody who's from the UP, you know, who's your favorite UP writer, and they can't name anybody. And I'm like, oh my God, you can buy 3 books right now that will change your life forever in terms of that because there's hugely talented people from the area. Tom Bissell, somebody who's just blowing up right now as far as a UP writer.
Is that why you did this, Ron? Because you felt like the UP writers weren't represented well enough?
100%, yep.
Are you a native?
Yeah, I'm born in Marquette, raised in Negaunee and Palmer. And in my entire college career and my elementary, I never once, ever in my life as a UP writer been, you know, mentioned to us. Even with Hemingway, we never read any of his UP stuff. And so I hated that because I just knew that there are such talented people and as I got older, I found more and more people. Like, for example, Sarah Marie Rapana, Emily Van Clay, these are people right now who are, you know, she just won the Georgia Review Award, you know, and so then she has a new book coming out. These people who are just like phenomenal voices. And I'm actually, you know, I've kind of been spending now, it's been, what, 6 years of me really being dedicated to the UP ontologies. And a cool thing now is as I'm older now, it's kind of weird from when the very first interview when I did this, I just feel older. But one thing I've created is I have finally put together a sort of literary canon where if anybody does want to support Upper Peninsula literature and find out who those heroes are from the area, you can buy 3 books. And I think if you read all 3 of them, it would be life-changing for you in terms of having strong regard for the UP. Last book had Roxanne Gay, and this one has, you know, Andrew Monson, and as I was saying, Tom Bissell. You know, and Tom's right now, James Franco shooting a film off of his last book, and then Werner Herzog, one of my favorite directors, just shot a film off of one of his short stories. I mean, this is somebody who's just massive, and he's an Escanaba guy, you know, born in 1974, Escanaba. And humble. I mean, I'm doing an appearance with him in Los Angeles in August, and when I talked to him, just a humble, nice guy, you know, and I love that combination. Steve Hamilton is like, too, the guy, I've gone to events where it's just packed to the hilt, and he's just humble as hell. And there's something about when you have that Upper Peninsula background where I think because maybe you do get ignored to such a large extent, you know, where we're not even on maps.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
even
yeah.
Now, you, even this year, maps will come out that don't have the UP on it.
Well, yeah, people show that mitten, where are you from, and they'll show you your hand, you know, and it's like,
exactly.
Wait a minute, you have to use both hands.
Yeah, Tom Dalton has a book, Under the Radar, where on the cover it's him with just that one hand, as if the Upper Peninsula exists not at all, and you even do people from Michigan do it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and so
I don't run.
What I wanted to do is take that other hand and really focus on it. And the reason why it's so important for me is because what I told you, these are working class Native American, a lot of times very marginalized voices who, maybe look in terms of art, you know, which I've never really talked about. Someone like Leora Lancaster, she's an Indigenous artist from Marquette. Astounding. She was just in a arts gallery thing where there's like 189 pieces in it, and her piece was tied for the best piece in the entire exhibit. And what I love to be able to do is even just say these names, like when I was kind of running through of all the people that are in here. It's just awesome for me to recommend Justin Machnick and Lisa Faye Coodley and Alex Rutan-Govins and Sally Brunk, who's just a powerhouse author. She's Lac de Flambeau, Ojibwe, and she is amazing. Sally Brunk is a name people should know. So for me to even just say Sally Brunk, you know, kind of repeat it right now, make sure you know who that is, because her writing makes me cry because it just comes from such a true place. Yeah, so I love that. I'm just happy that I have these books out and people can enjoy that and get to know better these writers.
And we get to get a taste of your work as well. You've got a couple of pieces in there.
Yeah, I really tried to limit to 2 poems on 1 page, and they're very small. One of them's like exceptionally small, and when I've gone to readings, I tend not to read them because I've really dedicated my life to writing. I mean, I have 2 MFAs from Virginia, University of Virginia for fiction, Brandeis University for playwriting, and then Western Michigan PhD for literature and creative writing. So it's not like I haven't worked at it. So I do feel like I'm a part of that. I mean, I definitely didn't put myself in.
See, there you go, being humble.
But I definitely didn't put myself in the Here Women Writers on Michigan, Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'll put a small one in there. But someone like Tom Bissell, I wanted to put Death to Fire, which is like a 40-page full. It feels like a novella, because that's what his writing is. It's immersion, you know. And what's a critical with him, because this is this third moment where there's a real serious shift that happens in UP literature, in my opinion, and that's post 9/11. When you read the book, just look for when I have it in the book where it'll be after 9/11. The writing shifts. And what Tom Bissell does with that story is abandons the UP, and it's a guy who's has UP heritage from the UP, but all of a sudden, you know, put them in the Gulf War. And that's just a whole different way of writing, you know. So you'll see that shift with Tom's. That's now we're in a whole different area now, because now you're taking somebody from the UP and putting them in war. And it just has a whole different way of literature. You know what I mean? And that shift, you're going to see that in the writing. It's different after 9/11, in my opinion.
Interesting. Planning any book events, readings down in Southwest Michigan?
Everywhere. We got readings all over Michigan from July all the way up to, I think, November. We got a big event that's going to be coming up, Pages Bookshop. It's going to be all on Native American event with April Lindela, Sally Brunk, Margaret Newton, Gordon Henry with Emma Liebler hosting it. But there's going to be just tons of stuff. You can follow me on Twitter or Facebook or just go to the bookstore websites like Literati and Pages Bookshop and Snowbomb. We're putting them one together with Falling Rock Cafe and Bookstore and Munising. Just a bunch of them. And the other thing, I'm glad you said this, is I highly please recommend, if you want to buy the books from Michigan bookstores. Don't buy them from Amazon.
I hear you.
Michigan bookstores can work exactly the same as Amazon. So you can just call up a bookstore. I did this with McLean and Aiken and say, I would like to order this book, that, and send it to me. And it's same as Amazon, except you're putting your money and you're supporting Michigan.
Exactly.
Supporting Michigan bookstores.
By Michigan. As we wind up, Ron, did you want to plug any of your own work? This isn't the only work that you do. You've got plenty of your own.
Well, I mean, a fun thing is Stephen Wardell's going to be, has a short story in mind. He's adapting into a film. So that's
really, I read online about that. Congratulations.
Yeah. And then there's another director that's interested in possibly doing one of my books. I have my novel UP's option to the King of Films. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I know he was talking with an actor from Beverly Hills Cop movies who was interested in it, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's cool that it happened to be Beverly Hills Cop because it's a Michigan film in a lot of ways. So another director that was interested in one of the other anthologies, actually, but who knows what will happen with that. But that's fun as well, that this sort of film interest, especially with, I don't know, with my writing, sometimes I feel like it can be, I don't know, it just sort of surprised me. Like, the short story is called Her Son, is the one that Stephen liked and wants to do, and it's a strange, interesting story. It's kind of David Lynchian, as I think, is the direction he wants to take it as far as directing, but... Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, you can, or Facebook, you can read that, tons of stuff that as it comes out, I let people know about it. But thanks for asking.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. Michigan appreciates you.
Thank you. I actually really, honestly, I appreciate that very much that you said that. So thank you.